Reading the opening verses of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the first three verses. Listen to God's word. I'm sorry, the first five verses. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I will stop at the end of verse 3. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. Now, a while ago, weeks ago, probably months ago, we laid the foundation to talk about the beginning, talk about creation itself and launching into the opening chapters of the book of Genesis by talking about before the beginning. Some of you may remember that. We looked at the passage that Joan read for us, the first chapter of Ephesians written by the Apostle Paul, in which there is a lot said about what was going on with God in the counsel of God before the foundation of the world. We also noted that we needed to go here with some caution, remembering John Calvin's quote of St. Augustine when Augustine was asked, what was God doing before God created the heavens and the earth? And Augustine replied, and Calvin agreed, creating hell for overly inquisitive students. But Scripture does tell us some things. And on that authority and basis, we were able to talk about some aspect of the life of God and the will of God even before creation began. And utilizing this passage, we learn that there is God the Father, everything through Christ, and the mention of the inheritance of the Holy Spirit. So we have God, the Trinity, who is life itself, even before time. This is happening in eternity, before the foundation of the world. And that there was, in the eternal counsel of God, a plan, verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time, even before time began, to gather up all things in him, meaning Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. And so we noted such concepts in this first chapter about God's good pleasure all throughout this chapter, God's counsel and will, the mystery of God's will, glory, love, the glorious grace of God, the riches of God's grace lavished upon us in Christ. All of this, even our inheritance, although sealed by the Spirit, is through Jesus Christ. Now, we did this over a number of weeks, and so just to summarize that takes us through a lot of theological content. Again, thinking as Paul is explicating for us, before the foundation of the world. Now, during those weeks, we've made use of a very popular book that has gotten mixed reviews. Some have thought it's the best thing since sliced bread. Others have thought it's sliced bread maybe a little better. And that was the book, The Shack. Do you remember this? How many of you read The Shack either before or during that time? All right, so you remember that's what we utilized. We utilized some of the concepts in The Shack to lay down some of this foundation work of what God, who God was, what God was doing before the foundation of the world. It was a way to kind of get some handle on it, if a handle could be gotten at all. And you may know something of the story. I certainly won't go over the whole thing again. It'll probably be made into a movie somewhere down the line anyway. But the main character is a man by the name of Mackenzie Phillips, who undergoes in his life what is called the great sorrow. And you who have read the book know what that great sorrow was, and we talked about many of the great sorrows in our own life. out of which Mackenzie is invited to come back to a place concerning the great sorrow and there to encounter God. And what Mackenzie discovered, and we utilized a review by Timothy Beale in the Chronicle Review, three things that we noted. And again, this is review, but it's important for us to again get this foundation down before we launch into the beginning. One of the things that Mackenzie discovered that the Scripture teaches us is that God always shatters our presuppositions of God. God is always greater than we can get a handle on. God is always beyond the limitations of what we can think, what we can conceive. We know God because God has chosen to be revealed to us. So in the shack, you will remember, Mackenzie does encounter God as Trinity in kind of the classic concepts of what we would call the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just as we baptized the little one calling into the faith and into the church in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, Trinitarian baptism. But the way Mackenzie encounters God is radically different than his conception of God and probably a lot of ours. For the Father figure, in fact, he's invited to call the Father figure by the name of Papa, which is the term of endearment that his wife uses for God, Mackenzie encounters as a large African-American woman. Now, talking about mixing of metaphors. In fact, there was a time we noted in this church, if we were to suggest such a thing, the preacher probably would have been run out of town, you know, on a rail. But we can talk about such things, and we can think about them in the fact that this is metaphorical language to try to get some aspects of who God is and who and how Mackenzie was invited to experience God. Jesus is there as a human being, as a carpenter, or rather a very Jewish-looking carpenter in contemporary carpenter clothes. And then the Holy Spirit in this book, The Shack, is a character by the name of Sarayu, who is a petite Asian woman of something of kind of an ethereal sense about her. It's kind of hard to even get a focus on her. So we can see that right away, as Mackenzie encounters God in the shack, and it's a good model for us, whether we buy all of those metaphors or not, that's not the point, is that God is always greater than our conceptions. God is always greater than who we think God is. And it's that way right from the very beginning of the Bible. We noted that in these opening verses of the book of Genesis, and we will in the weeks ahead when I'm preaching, focus on these foundational chapters of the Bible. So much of what we believe and are as human beings and Christians as well, foundation laid for us in these early chapters, we see right away that Trinitarian concept of God is present. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. So there we have God. I'll talk about that word in just a minute. We also see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the symbol of wind of God sweeping across the face of the water. Some translations even would call it the Spirit of God. Then there is Christ also present. Maybe a little harder to see. But Christ, as we have explained for us by John, the gospel writer in the first chapter, is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we see creation coming into being, into actualization, through the action of God, the Trinity. Father, the Spirit, the Word. The spoken word through Christ, everything through Christ. When the word is spoken, let there be light, then light is actualized. Light is created. And we will see those other concepts throughout this chapter at another time. When we talked about this, we also noted the very particular word, that the Hebrew word that is used here for God. It is the word Elohim that is introduced at the beginning of the Bible. And we noted that in Hebrew, and we didn't go into great language lecture, we don't need to, that the I am ending, Elohim, is the plural in Hebrew. We noted such words as cherubim and seraphim, meaning more than one cherub, more than one seraph. It's like adding an S in English. And so what we noted here is that there's a plurality, a concept of plurality in the very title given for God in the first introductory words of the Bible. We also noted that some believe that this is really for what we would call plural majesty, that those who are, not like me, but who are of royal lineage might talk about themselves in the plural. We will, you know, we'll be going to the polo match this afternoon. Well, some think that that's more of what is going on here. But I think we can safely, with what is revealed to us in the other two persons of the Trinity, I think we can affirm that this is a plurality of beings, something more than expected, something that the world at that time and throughout the history of the world would not quite envision one God, but in a plurality of being. It's tough to get our minds wrapped around it. The word that is introduced for the name of God in the next book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, again, we also noted this, we had more time, is the name Yahweh, which means I am. It's actually a verb, the verb of being. And in the shack, what is revealed in a conversation to Mackenzie is this. This is Papa speaking. This, forgive me, is Sereyu speaking. She opened her hands to include Jesus and Papa. I am a verb, said Sereyu, the Holy Spirit figure. I am that I am. I will be who I will be. I am a verb. I am alive, dynamic, ever active and moving. I am a being verb. Skipping on down, humans, on the other hand, have a knack for taking a verb that is alive and full of grace and turning it into a dead noun or principle that reeks of rules. Going on down, she says, unless I am, there are no verbs, and verbs are what makes the universe alive. In that sense, I think the writer of The Shack, William Young, really has it spot on, right on, that God is being itself, that God is so beyond our conception that we really can't properly call God a proper noun. Goes beyond even our rules of English. God is being. God is a verb. God is always greater than we conceive God to be. That's one of the concepts in the shack. Another one is about the Trinitarian life of God before the foundations of the world. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were revealed to Mackenzie, Papa, Jesus, and Sereyu. What we learn in this discussion of the shack, which I also think is a biblical concept, is we who embrace the Trinity sometimes tend to think of it as a hierarchical relationship. That is more something like a triangle or even a straight line coming down, that the Father is at the top, and the Father is the big God, the big boss, and then if we're looking at a triangle, then one side is Jesus, Christ, the Son, and the other side is the Holy Spirit. But the way the Trinitarian life of God is presented in the shack, and I think this is a very good biblical concept, is it's not so much a triangle, it's certainly not hierarchical, but it is more circular, kind of like a dance of being or a dance of love. There is no one greater than the other. They are three persons who are equal in glory, in worth, in majesty, and equally to be worshipped, as our creeds tell us. And that creation itself is something of an overflow of the very fullness of God's being. God did not need to create. The shack says that. Many theologians make that, emphasize that point. One of the ones I love, you know, is Jonathan Edwards, particularly makes that point, that there's nothing lacking in God, that God needed to create the world or to create us. God from all eternity is a complete and full, happy, dynamic being and relationship of love. The love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit mutually for each other. But yet, God's will from the foundation of the world, as Paul told us, the purpose of God was to create out of the fullness and overflow of God's very being with a particular plan in mind that Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:10, for the fullness of time to gather up all things in heaven and all things on the earth. The beginning is the beginning of time. But the beginning in all of time and history was contemplated, was planned, was a result of the very being of God from all eternity, and the plan and purpose of that triune God of Father, Son, and Spirit, and the mutuality of their love, to bring into existence and to actualize that intent that there be the heavens and the earth, and you and me, and animals, and everything contained in creation that would glorify God. We will talk about that more. But it is the beginning, is an overflow of the fullness of what was before the beginning. And if you're not totally confused by that, let me just say that the scripture tells us in the beginning, God created. But before there even was a beginning, in the beginning, God. We'll look forward, or at least I do, to talking more about these wonderful chapters and verses in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. But now we end in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.